witch said, what? Hey y'all, welcome back to the Witch Said What podcast. This is Katie, your host, your friendly neighborhood death witch. And guys, I am so happy to be back for episode 6. We're going to be talking about ghosts and hauntings and some of my experiences. But before we get into that, I just want to say thank you so much for being so patient these last 2 weeks. I have been so sick. The first wasn't really like sick. I had my period and it was terrible. But the second week was filled with the flu that my nieces and nephews gave to me very lovingly. And I just felt like absolute death, not to be punny or anything. But I just, it wiped me out. I spent 2 weeks basically on my couch, either asleep or binge watching shows on Netflix, cuddling my animals. I haven't forgotten you guys. Thank you so much for being patient. Thank you so much for sending me messages. I got a bunch. People were like, where are you? And that's why I recorded that message a couple of days ago, just letting you all know that I hadn't fallen off the face of the planet. I did watch 2 things. I watched the Ted Bundy tapes documentary, and then I watched another one, Abducted in Plain Sight. Y'all, it was wild. We need to talk about it. We're not going to talk about it on this podcast, but if you want to talk about it, just hit me up. You can hit me up on Twitter, on Instagram, or via email, which said what@gmail.com. But yeah, we can talk about that at another time. Before we really get into anything, I just want to give you all an update. The podcast has had 563 downloads. I'm just so thrilled that so many of you all are enjoying what I have to say about witchcraft, and I appreciate your reviews and your ratings. If you can, please do go over to iTunes, leave a rating, leave a review, give me some feedback, share it with your friends. I would greatly, greatly appreciate that. As always, we kick off the podcast with a tarot card. This week I drew the 9 of Cups with the Mystic Mondays deck. Now, a couple of weeks ago, we pulled the 9 of Cups. I believe I was using the Labyrinthos deck for that, but I'm just going to go over it in terms of this episode because I think it has a little bit of a different meaning for me. So in the Mystic Mondays deck, the 9 of Cups is also a wish come true, fulfillment, pleasures. They talk about it being a wish card, I mean, grace with abundance. Most people personally feel that they've reached a sense of completion with a major goal or project, right? And there's a lot of balance in their lives. When it comes to talking about like hauntings and ghosts and everything, the 9 of Cups to me suggests a bit of emotional maturity and the understanding of what's important and what's not, especially for me, especially being 31 years old and having been exploring this area of spirituality. The 9 of Cups tells me that there is a point to where I have found myself at long last, and I'm seeing the bigger picture in life and truly knowing what it is that I've been looking for in terms of death, ghosts, death, witchcraft. It also suggests that there's a time of moving away from an old style of living that was based more on others' wants, needs, and expectations. And for me, I do come from a little bit of a background with Catholicism. I went through all of my sacraments. I went to Catholic school. I was taught by Maltese nuns. As I've gotten older and as I've explored folk magic and my ancestry and death witchcraft, I find myself taking some things that I learned from Catholicism, but not necessarily incorporating all of those religious practices into my own path. The 9 of Cups can also simply suggest that this is a gathering of close family and friends who revel in each other's company. For me, I wouldn't necessarily say that I revel in the company of ghosts and other entities, but I have always felt at peace with those things, except for the thing that I'm going to talk about today. I hope that gives you some insights into the Nine of Cups. Like, when I pull double cards and stuff throughout this podcast, I'm not going to go over the full spiel about each card. If we pull a double, I'm going to really focus in on what I think it's trying to tell us about this podcast in particular. Anyway, when we come back, we're going to get into hauntings, guys. Ghosts, spooks, hints. I'm really excited to talk about it and share with you guys. So hang tight during the short break, and then we'll come back to talk about spooky, scary, not skeletons. If you head over to Google and you type in the word haunting, there's a couple of definitions that pop up. First of all, haunting is described as an adjective, meaning poignant and evocative, difficult to ignore or forget. Like, the melodies were elaborate and of haunting beauty. Other definitions for haunt, being the verb, is for something to manifest itself at a place regularly, or to frequent a place, to be persistently in the mind of somebody, or to be persistently and disturbingly present in something. When people ask me if I believe in ghosts, I almost always laugh, because as a death witch, we spend a great deal of time working with spirits. It's hard to imagine my life without ghosts, spirits, and other death-related entities. A couple of months ago, I was on the Mostly Dead podcast with Olive and Louise. They are amazing hosts, and their whole podcast is where they sit down and they discuss death, and they interview one or more people, their guests, and they ask them, do you believe in ghosts? I was on the Halloween special, and I shared quite a bit of details about my life, about growing up, being closely related to the death industry, a little bit about my own witchcraft and practice, and my experiences with ghosts. I've always been, this is really hard to put, but I've always felt so closely pulled to cemeteries, old places, like old architecture, and I've always had a fascination with history. In college, I studied photography, and I decided that I was going to use my kind of obsession with dilapidated architecture as my fine art field of study. There is nothing I love more than spotting an old house on the side of the road, pulling off, walking up, and taking pictures of it. Now, I know that somebody listening to this is probably going to be like, that's trespassing. You're correct, it is. But nobody is living in this place. You know what I mean? Like, to me, there's something about these places that just calls out to me. It pulls at my heartstrings, and I want to know who lived there. I want to experience it. I wish that I could have some sort of magical ability to go back in time for a brief moment and see what the people were like living in this place before it became, you know, run down. I have a friend of mine that practices witchcraft with me, and she's always creeped out by these pictures when I send them to our group chat. And she's like, ugh, it's so weird and everything. And she's like, what is it about them? And I can look at these places and shut my eyes, and I can just picture it. Like, I can look at the bones of these houses, and I can see the rooms and what they were like. And I'm not empathic by any stretch of the imagination. I mean, like, I have empathy, but I wouldn't say that I'm an empath. But when it comes to places being haunted, I'm not always talking about being haunted by spirit and maybe haunted by memory or haunted by energy. And that's what I mean when I say the feeling of being haunted. So many times, there are ghosts of things in our lives that that we're afraid of or that have brought trauma to us or that just rear their heads at inopportune times. A lot of the time I think about being haunted by memory, right? And things of the past that need to be left in the past. I'm sure that nobody's really interested in talking about being haunted by nostalgia or days gone by and everything. That's not really what we're talking about here. But I just want you to know, to those listening and everything, that have experienced that feeling of that heaviness that kind of weighs on you when those ideas and thoughts pop in your head. Like, I understand that feeling as well. For the most part, there are a couple of different types of hauntings, and I've kind of summed them up in a couple of different categories. But one thing that I want to talk about is that ghosts don't really discriminate. Ghosts don't discriminate between houses, different property, who owns it, or people. They just haunt whatever they feel a connection to whenever they feel like it. Sometimes a haunting is silent or barely noticeable. And other times it's loud and it disrupts the environment and the people experiencing it. They're kind of individual, each haunting. There also never really seems to be a rhyme or reason to it, but somehow there's always a pattern as well. The first type of haunting you really get into are like the classic and historical hauntings. These are your simple, run-the-mill, ordinary hauntings producing really predictable paranormal activity. Within the idea of a classic haunting, there's always a soul of somebody who has died, and they've decided to stay behind for a variety of reasons. Most of those types of ghosts just don't realize they're dead, or there's that stereotype, and they're afraid to go to the light. No, they're just stuck between life and death, and their soul is just wandering around. Sometimes a classic haunting can be really noticeable, but it's usually on the more silent side of hauntings. Things people experience during classic hauntings are like footsteps, doors or cabinets opening, closing, lights flickering, like gentle touches, sometimes electronic interference. And then one thing that always kind of sticks out during this is like scent, like perfume or food, maybe cigars or cigarettes. Another haunting that's pretty common and similar to a classic haunting is like the historic haunting, right? A haunting that is historical, that's gained historic fame or is based at a historic place. You might think about like Gettysburg when we talk about that. During historic hauntings, you always hear things about how they see people in old garb, like dated garb, like Victorian, colonial, Native American, whatever have you. Some historic hauntings take place at or near cemeteries or burial grounds, or sometimes a house or property has like significant historical value. The second type of haunting that I can think of is poltergeists. Probably one of the more frightening hauntings has to do with the poltergeist. When we say poltergeist, we definitely mean an angry spirit or an upset spirit. If you were living in a home where a poltergeist is haunting, you would know immediately. Most of the times, they're loud, disruptive, and can be even violent. Usually, a poltergeist haunting is centered around a child or an adolescent in a home. I think they attach themselves to younger people because young people are more trusting. And I truly do believe that children are more connected to the spiritual plane. I don't know what accent that was. But they're more likely to be open. When I first started practicing witchcraft with the group that I practice with, we always used to talk about this thing called blissful ignorance, to where if you don't know about these things, you don't notice them. But for kids, I think they're more than open-minded, and they're very accepting that there are things that they just don't understand. And I also think that's the reason why kids ask why so much. They want to understand. Poltergeist hauntings have a certain nature to them. Furniture's often moved, shaken, or thrown. Doors slam open and shut. There are horrible loud noises like scratching, screaming, banging. Feelings of being pushed or pulled, slapped, being watched, or feelings of discomfort or unease. That's really common. And most people might say, well, that could be like demonic activity, right? But I think it really depends on your beliefs. Because not everybody believes in demons. Poltergeists are usually considered human souls that are angry for one reason or another. Now, some people might not believe in demonic hauntings. I think it really has to do with the person or the family in particular. But just to break it down, demonic hauntings are probably the most terrifying of all. That's a haunting in which an evil spirit haunts a family or a person. Sometimes these things can be waiting for 100 years. Sometimes they just kind of show up when somebody is vulnerable to them. Some people believe that demonic hauntings can be classified into like two subtypes. You've got attachment and possession. I've never known anybody who was possessed. Although I have met a few people who believe that a demon has attached to them. The difference between a demonic haunting and a poltergeist haunting is that the demonic entity literally haunts a person's body, whereas a poltergeist usually haunts a building and then targets a person within that building. Demons are characterized by Christian faiths as being helpers of like Lucifer, while in other belief systems, they're simply some of the most ancient spirits on earth. Whatever they may be, they can present themselves sometimes in very violent and possessive. And most Christian beliefs say that a demon seeks to devour the person to whom they're attached. And I don't want to get too much into demonic possessions and hauntings. That's something that we can talk about at a later time. It's just too much to divulge. That could be a whole episode of its own, right? So another haunting I want to get into is like residual energy. The majority of residual energy hauntings occur in places that have seen a lot of tragedy. I think one of the places that comes to mind would be like Auschwitz. To me, I just feel like that would be a place that has so much traumatic, sorrowful energy. Also, some people say that like where other devastating things have happened has a lot of residual energy hauntings, like the World Trade Center, Gettysburg, any place with a great battle, really and truly. Most of the time, residual energy hauntings make a person feel uneasy or emotional immediately upon coming in contact with them. There's a lot of cold spots. Maybe they see signs of ghosts. And sometimes there are sounds or scenes that are experienced at the same time, on the same day, wherever they're experienced. It's more like a movie haunting. The people who experience a residual energy haunting say that when they see or hear or feel the ghost, it's almost like watching a movie over and over again. It's like the energy has imprinted with that certain event. There are other hauntings of other entities, which we're not going to get into as well, like shadow men, and some people believe in like the fae and things like that, but today we're just not going to get into that. Today, I want to tell you all about a particular entity that I've seen my whole life, and there's been recent activity that I feel like I should share, that I should either write down or record for you guys. I don't know, maybe for posterity, like I don't know, but I just want to share that with you guys. I grew up in the same house my whole life. My parents built their farmhouse in 1980. I believe it was 1980 or 1981. And when they built it, there was an older farmhouse kind of across the way. I grew up in the middle of nowhere. Let's just put it that way. We lived about 15 minutes outside of town on a very large farm that was surrounded by woods. Growing up, I had a wonderful childhood, guys. Like, my parents are very loving. My family was really invested in our lives. I had a great relationship with my grandparents. My brother and sister, for the most part, tortured me just about enough for two older siblings. But, you know, we shared a beautiful childhood together. But death was something that was always there. I think, one, because we were closely tied to the funeral death industry. And two, because when my dad was 25 years old, his father passed away very suddenly. And it was just always there. Death was always a topic. We also had a family ghost, which if you go and listen to the Mostly Dead podcast episode, you can hear about Jimmy on there. But there was something that I always felt was there. There was something lingering in the dark. And I'm not afraid of the dark. I never have been. But I've always been kind of wary of what dwells in the dark, if you get my meaning. And I started seeing this thing when I was fairly young. I would look out my window in my room and I would see this kind of shadowy figure in the distance. It would be up against a tree line or across a road or something like that. But I can remember being pretty young and going outside, and we had a barn, I'd say, like, for little kid paces, it was quite a number of steps, probably not even like a minute walk from our carport to the barn. And it was a big red barn, had these huge white sliding doors to where we could pull the tractor in or they could hang tobacco. And I can remember one night my mother sent me outside. It was just after sunset. She sent me outside to get something out of her car. And so I go. I'm getting something out. And I turn and look. And in the middle of nowhere, you all, we don't have light pollution. Like, we have the moon and that's it. And when it's a new moon, when there's no moon at all, it's just dark. But you can also see the Milky Way. It's beautiful. But I can remember on this night that the white of the doors just stuck out so much. Like, when I close my eyes, I can see it. And up against the doors was this figure. It was shadowy. It was like blacker than black. And if I had to guess, it was at least 6.5, maybe 7 feet tall. Just this big black entity. And I can remember looking at it and thinking, oh my God. Like, it's like this overwhelming sense of dread. Not terror, but dread. And it moved. It like did this creepy shimmying motion. Like, it was kind of staggering towards me. Of course, I went inside and I didn't say anything. Not for a while. Later, I asked my dad if Kentucky had bears. but anything to be that big would be like a grizzly bear. We have like little black bears. But I can just remember seeing it. And it was never in the house. It was always outside. Always at night. When I would play outside during the day, it was fine. But I just absolutely was terrified of going outside at night because I would see it. Like, we had a kind of a fir tree off the carport that we got my mom for Easter one year. And it grew pretty large. But I would see it there. I would see it down my driveway, I would see it and it would just, there was like a heaviness to my heart over the years. Like from probably like 5 or 6 years old until I was 15 or so. And I would see this thing and it just made my blood run cold. And I never really spoke about it. Like, we would always talk about Jimmy the ghost and things like that. We would always talk about death, but I never spoke about it because I was afraid that people would think I was crazy. But then one night, I had two girlfriends over. We had a swim meet the next day, and we always stayed up way too late before a swim meet. Just super dumb because you're exhausted. But we were hanging out in my downstairs living room. One of my friends was a self-proclaimed atheist at 16, and the other was, I believe she was Methodist. She still is Methodist. What am I saying? But we're all hanging out, and the girl, A, we'll call her A, she got up on her knees on a couch, and there were these bay windows that looked out towards the road and towards more farmland. And it's in the middle of the night, maybe like 2 o'clock in the morning, she says, there's something out there. And I immediately just feel it in my chest again, this like horrible sense of dread. And she's like, seriously, there's something standing out there. And my other friend, we'll call her Jay, she was like, yeah, there's like a mailbox or something over there. I said, there's not a mailbox over there. I was like, there's nothing over there. It's an open field. There's no houses around. And so Jay gets up on the couch and she looks and she goes, there is. It looks like somebody's standing out there. And guys, I just, of course, there's part of me that's like feels validated. But then I'm sitting there and it just comes out of me and I'm like, yeah, I see it all the time. And they're like, why don't you tell anybody? Like, what am I going to say? Like, I see this thing that I've seen this thing for years and years. And I joked about this in the Mostly Dead podcast about, like, how I basically told Jay, you can't exercise a whole farm, right? So, other people had seen it. And I couldn't believe it. I had been so alone in seeing this thing. And then over the next couple of years, more people saw it. I had another friend, her name was B. When I went to college and we kind of formed our group of witches that started practicing and stuff, B saw it one day when we were standing outside. Even when I was in college too, I always felt like something was watching me. Something was waiting on me, as ominous as that sounds. And then it kind of went away. I moved to Nashville to go to art school. And then I moved back home. Well, not back home, but like the city nearby. And I never did anything, like never any spells or warding or anything like that. I never felt the need to do that. But I just felt that overwhelming sense of dread, right? And then there was a point in my life where nothing with that happened. And then my parents moved out of that house. They built a new house, like not even a quarter of a mile up the road. My cousin bought the farmhouse. And I just thought that that thing wasn't there anymore. That something, that it had dispersed. Until I moved into a house in the city. It was the first time I had rented a house. And the first day I was there, I moved in things by myself. And I walked around. I was just taking in the energy of the property. And one of the things that kind of sticks out to me is that I could smell my grandfather, who had passed away 6 years prior. He had a very distinct smell. It was Ralph Lauren Polo, the green bottle, Irish Spring soap, and like the faintest hint of cigarettes. When I walked alone in that house, I could smell them. I just felt like it was such a good place. It was such a good home. But that quickly went away because for about 2 weeks, after I moved in, I had nightmares about this shadowy figure coming up from the basement and screaming in my face. Like, oh, like to this day, like even thinking about those nightmares just gives me cold chills. My brother came and stayed with me for a little bit. And that kind of went away after that. And everything was good after that again. And then 2 years goes by and we get to last May of 2018. And I move closer to home. And I find this amazing townhome, but it's set in the woods. There's another townhome attached to it. And then there's like a circular little drive with a lamppost in the middle of it with a tree. And then across from us are two more like one floor townhomes. And the day we move in, I look out the back window and I'm looking at these woods and there is just something about them. I just get this strange feeling like I'm being watched. And we had friends there all day. People were helping us move in and it just, something stuck out to me. Something was weird. And over the next couple of weeks in May, like I didn't want to go outside at night. Like something in my gut was just like, you need to stay inside. And every time I would look out towards the trees, I felt it again. It felt like something was watching. And this continues. It continues to this day. Off and on, I feel this way. Until last week when I had the flu. At night, I put the leashes on my puppies and I take them out one more time before I go to bed. Walk outside and it was kind of chilly. I mean, it wasn't anything different for February. Staying outside, and my dogs are not very vocal unless they see other dogs or somebody startles them, right? They're just not. They're little puppies. And I'm standing on like this little stoop basically to my front door. And one puppy usually goes around to the left and I can't really see him, but he's just, you know, he's doing his biz. And the other one goes off to the other side. He's doing his business. The one that went off to the left around the corner towards the street lamp kind of did something out of character. He started growling, like just low growl. And it struck me as odd because they don't usually do that. And then he growled really low and then he started barking. My other dog, Walter, he's a little dumb baby. He was like, I guess intrigued that his brother was barking because that's a new thing. And he kind of, you know, trotted over and he immediately stops on the sidewalk where I can see him. And he's looking at the other dog that I can't see. And the hair on his back kind of stands up and he starts growling. And then they start barking loud. I mean, loud, loud. And they start backing up as if, like, when you approach dogs, most of the time they'll back up if somebody, like, walks towards them they don't know, right? They're both kind of looking up and backing up as they're walking. And I stand up and I'm coming around to look and I see them doing this. And as I come around, the light on the street lamp shuts off and I'm just standing there in the dark. And you know, when a light goes off and everything's like dark around you, you can't really see, you have to get your bearings. And I stand there for a second and I'm looking towards the woods and I see it. And it's maybe like 25 feet away from me. And I'm staring at it and the puppies are growling and I'm like, no, like, no way. Like, this is not happening. My blood went cold. I felt that sense of dread again. And I was like, come on, let's go inside. So I turned and I'm pulling them. Walter, immediately runs towards the door. He walks in. Well, Bishop rounds me, goes around the sidewalk to the other side where he's looking at a different set of woods, okay? And he starts barking like mad, just barking and barking and barking. And I'm like, Bishop, come on. Bishop, come inside. And I start to feel scared. And I finally get him inside and I'm standing there. And guys, I'm just floored by this. I'm just standing there wondering, like, what is this? Because my whole life, I've known ghosts. My whole life, I have worked with spirits. But I have never, ever felt that way before, to be scared like that. I just haven't. And now, you know, it's a couple days after this, and I'm sitting here, and I'm like, I could ward, right? I could put up sigils, I could throw salt, I could do all kinds of things. But there's part of me that wonders, what if this isn't an actual entity? What if this is energy? What if this is memory? What if this is something else? What if I'm the one that's manifesting this? But I cannot, for the life of me, figure out the pattern. You know, we mentioned pattern earlier in hauntings. There always seems to be no rhyme or reason, but there's always a pattern. And I'm left here this week with no real answer for you guys, other than I'm looking for the pattern. Elbert Hubbard says that the supernatural is the natural, just not yet understood. So I think that over the next few weeks, and actually, let's not lie, over the course of my life, I'll be looking at these patterns and wondering what it is that attracts this thing to me or why it's attached to me. Right now, as I'm recording this, it's 1:30 in the morning, and I have my windows, well, my blinds pulled up, and I'm looking into the darkness where that forest is, where perhaps that thing is now. And I'm not scared, not in this like fortress of my home. But I just want to know. I'm as curious as the children we talked about. I want to know why. And I think that's really important to keep in mind, to set aside our initial fear that we may feel. And ask why. As a death witch, I spend a lot of my time trying to help spirits move on, or I try to help families cope with grief. This should be nothing different, I think. I think as long as I approach it with that in mind, you know, I think I'll be okay. That wraps up this episode of Witch Said What. I'm Katie, your host, your friendly neighborhood death witch. Thank you again so much for listening to episode 6 of this podcast. If you could, please go and review it on iTunes. You can also leave a rating. You can check us out also on Podbean as well. Download it, listen to it, share it with your friends. You can find me on Twitter and Instagram at Witch Said What, or on my website, witchsaidwhat.com. Thank you again for listening. I hope you guys have a wonderful weekend. See you later. Bye.